We continue our learning. Lili Nishmas, Helen Basleo, Susan Basleo, Davim Ben Achamushim, Chaim Yaakov Ben Chasulio, Wirim Bava Mitzia, Periches, Mishnah Zayin. Hamaskir Bais L'Chavero. Here we have a case, someone is renting out a house to his friend, and there are certain things that we expect in a house. You see that in certain countries, you expect there to be a refrigerator and an oven and a stove. And other places you find, you rent an apartment in Israel and you walk in and there's nothing there. And it's the tenant's responsibility to pay for those things if he wants them. So here the Mishnah is telling us what is expected. Whose responsibility is it to make sure that the apartment has particular items in them? Is it the maskir, the one who's renting it out, or who's a landlord, or the tenant? So the Mishnah says like this: Hamaskir bais lachavero, hamaskir chayov badeles baneger uvaman ol uvchol davar shemase uman. It's the maskir, it's the landlord's responsibility to ensure, assuming that the tenant didn't come to see the house before he rented it, there were no particular stipulations in this. So these are the things that he must provide. We assume the contract includes a delos, a door, okay, very nice. A neger, that's the bolt. They would use this to lock the door from the inside. There would be a hole in the threshold, and that's how they would lock the doors. The manul is the neger is the bolt. Manul is a lock. This is, according to some Rishonim, it's where the tenant can lock the door from the outside when he leaves. So these are things that are the responsibility of the maskir, of the landlord, uvechol davar shemase uman, anything that's literally the work of a craftsman. So anything that has to be, that needs a craftsman to build or to fix, that's the maskir's responsibility. But if it's not a masa uman, it's not something that can be that you need a craftsman for. And the Gemara has the example of Kuf Aleph, the example of a sulam, of a ladder, or a make. So if an ordinary person can do so, can make it for himself, so that becomes the tenant's responsibility, and he has to, and it's his expense. We learn the Choshen Mishpah. The Shulchan Aruch says that a lot of these things are based on the Minhag Medina. What is what's the typical custom? The local custom is what we generally have to follow. Then the Mishnah says Hazevel regarding manure fertilizer shel bal habayis that belongs to the landlord. The ein la socher el hayotze min hatanur min hakirayim bilvad. All the socher, all the tenant gets is what comes from the oven and the stove. So what does this mean? So when people would rent apartments, there was usually a chatzer in front, and the animals would be walking around there. They would, and very often the manure would be there, and people would come from different places. People from the village would come, if they would come from other villages, come to the bigger cities. And on the market days, they would bring their cattle into the courtyard, and the animals would eat there, and of course there would be a lot of manure there. And if there's any straw, tevin and kaf, straw and stubble there, it would be crushed by the cattle that would come in, and that would become itself, that would turn into fertilizer. So this is fertilizer that's produced by all the animals that would come into this chatzer. So since this belonged, the chatzer belongs to the landlord, so all of that manure belongs to him as well. Of course, if it's the cattle of the tenant that's producing the manure, so then that obviously belongs to him. Many poskim hold that let's say the courtyard is rented to the tenant, which means that he's not only renting the house, he's renting the courtyard. So then the manure produced by any of the cattle coming from the outside, so that would belong to the one who's renting. We treat it like his courtyard, so all of the fertilizer should belong to him. The Rambam disagrees. He says that, no, a person, we say, we've had before, chatzero shalodam konalomi shalomi dato, a person's chatzer has the ability to acquire things for him, even though it's he's not around, and even if it's rented to other people. So here also, the manure that's produced by the cattle that came from other places, from other people, that will belong to the owner of the yard, even if the tenant rented the courtyard. Yes, he rented the chatzer. You can use the chatzer, no doubt, but it doesn't mean that manure that's produced there because of other cattle that walks in would automatically belong to the tenant. But if it's the cattle of the tenant, that is of the socher that's producing the manure, so of course he gets to keep it. And then the Mishnah concluded that, well, so what did the socher get? So what out of the chatzer is able to the ashes of the stoves and the ovens that are there and that also potentially can be used as fertilizer, or use it for other things as well, that would belong to the tenant. Why should that be? After all, they said it should be the same thing as the fertilizer. So some explain that there's really no difference between fertilizer, or between the manure and the ashes. It should be the same thing, which means if the tenant really is the owner of the, if the tenant rented the chutzir itself, so then the same way he gets the fertilizer, he's going to get the ashes of the oven and the ashes of the oven and the stove as well. And the Mishnah, just the fact that the Mishnah makes a distinction between them, should really be not be understood that there really is a difference in the halacha. But generally speaking, the zevah belongs to balabais, and generally speaking, the tanur and the kiraim, that which comes out of them will belong to the socher. But in fact, if he rents it from the balabais, he's going to get the zevel and the ashes from the tanur and the kiraim. And if he doesn't rent it, it belongs to the owner. Remember, according to the Rambam, though, that's not the landlord should be able to acquire what's ever in the chatzir, even in circumstances where the tenant is renting the chatzir itself. So why should there be a difference here? So some explain that according to the Rambam, the will say that the owner of the chatzir is not willing to give up to waive his right to the fertilizer, but he's willing to waive his right to the ovens and to that which comes from the ovens and the stoves, even though the ovens and the stoves belong to the landlord, since generally what's in his chatzir should be acquired by him. But since it's understood that the tenant is going to be using the ovens and the stoves so much for his own food, so he's willing to waive his right. A lot of the ashes come from his food anyway, and that's why we would allow that which is yotzi minat tanur and the kiraim to belong to the tenant. Peraches Mishnah Ches Hamaskir Bais Lachavero Lishana. Person who rents out a house to his friend for a year. So what do you pay? Okay, you pay for the year, whatever the value is. But here, says the Mishnah, it's Abra Hashana. The year became a Shana Muberes, that now has an extra month. And in days of the Mishnah, you didn't know if it was going to be an extra month or not yet from the very beginning. You didn't necessarily know it was going to be 13 months. That could be decided in Adar. Till the end of Adar, you could decide whether you need to add an extra Adar or not. You see that Pesach is going to be too early. It's not going to be in the spring. So the Chachamim meets, the Sanhedrin meets and decide to add on a month. So now all of a sudden, what's going to happen? The socher is going to now live in the house for, pay the same amount and live there for 13 months, says Mishnah. Yes, Nisabra Hashon, Nisabra La Socher. So they declared it a Shana Mu'uberes. So the socher now gets an automatic extra month because he rented it for the year, and the year does not end till 13 months are over. Hiskir Lo Lechadashim, but let's say he rented it for month by month, meaning this is what you're going to pay, for the year, but by each month is going to be a certain amount of money. So then it's Abra Hashanah, it's Abra Lamaskir. Then if it's a Chodesh Meuberes, that Chodesh Meuberes becomes to the advantage of the Maskir, in the sense that he, of course, is going to be paid for that extra month because he said to him that although I'm renting you for the year, it's going to be this amount per month. Then the Mishnah brings a story. But we'll see the story really contradicts that which we see in the Reisha. So the Gemara says that this is a chisur machas, so something's missing from the Mishnah in order to understand this story that took place in Tzipori, where we will see the halacha is different than that which we said in the Reisha. So we have to add on the following words. Vim amar lo bishneim asar dinarim lashana midinar zahar v'lachodesh. Let's say, though, the masker said to the socher, here a little bit both. He said, I'm renting you this house for 12 dinar for the year. Mi dinar zahav l'chodesh, 1 dinar per month, which means here he really fixed with him both for the year and for the month. So it's going to be 12 dinarim for the year. He didn't just say 12 dinarim for the year, period, nor did he say, you're going to be paying me X amount per month. Here he said both. So it's not clear. Is it for the year or is it for the month? And if it's not clear, so then does the socher have to pay for the 13th month, or is it included in the fact that he's renting it for a year? So the Gemara says this new opinion in the Mishnah that's not found in the Mishnah, but will help explain the Maisa, the story, in a moment, says in such a case, Yachloku, the masker and the socher will split the schar dira, the payment for that extra month, which means the socher basically pays a half. So if it's dinar for the month, he pays a half a dinar. And now we understand the story. Maisa b'tzipor, now we can read the Mishnah. Maisa b'tzipor, a story in the city of Tzipori, be'echad she'sachar merchatz mechavero, person who rented a bathhouse from his friend, b'shneim asar zahav lashana, he said, what was in the contract here? 12 golden coins for the year, so it looks like he's renting it for the year, midinar zahav lachodesh, but then they specify a dinar zahav for each month, so now it's not clear, is it for the whole year or for per month? Uva maisa lefnei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, lefnei Rabbi Yossi, the case came from Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi, and they said, yachloku es chodesh ha'ibur, they said, you should split this chodesh ha'ibur, because we're not sure if we are, what we say, toface lashon rishon, we grab hold literally of the first language, which was for the year, and therefore the 13 months should not have to be paid by the socher, or maybe lashon acharon, where then they said dina zahav lachodesh, in which case the maskir would gain, he would have to pay for the socher would have to pay for that extra month, and therefore as a suffix we split. Happens to be that the halach does not follow this. We assume that the chodesh ha'ibur, the extra month, goes to the maskir. It has to be paid because, in such a case, where it's not clear, because the karka is becheskas bailim. We assume the land, the house, is in the chazaka of the owner. The owner is the maskir, and therefore, to say that the socher would not have to pay for that, of course you should have to pay, because if you're not sure what the halacha is, the socher would have to pay. And he only has the right not to pay for that extra month if he has proof.